Dear Ellery and Megan, family and friends, in 1994, when I used Tina Turner's question, "What's love got to do with it?" for a wedding sermon, that song was only 10 years old. When I used that title again, it was about 20 years old. Well, now the song's a real golden oldie. But nevertheless, the question is still relevant. What does love got to do with marriage? Everything, according to the world. In TV and movies, the first question the parent, friend, sibling asks of the person who says they're going to get married is, "Do you love him? Or does she love you?" Actually, today, that question is of the person thinking about moving in with someone, or of the teen deciding about sex outside of marriage. But those are whole other sermons. This one is about marriage. And in the world, love is the basis for marriage. A loveless marriage is not just a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, it's a trap. No one wants to be trapped in a loveless marriage. Love, the emotion coming from you two, is supposed to be the basis for your marriage. The thing we have for everything, from songs to movies to books to clothing. I love that song. I love that movie. I love that book or sweater. The thing we have for pets and hobbies and sunsets, that's to be the bedrock of your life together. And so, love determines the length of your marriage. Pay attention in movies, TV shows, or real life. When couples have the temerity to write their own vows, they almost always have a love clause. The bride or the groom looks deeply into their intended eyes and says with Linus-like sincerity, "I'll be true to you as long as we both shall love." The fact that we can say with all sincerity, "I used to love," fill in the blank, should expose how fragile and downright silly thinking marriage can be based on human love is. But that's not even the worst of it. We're going as a society where virtually no society has ever gone before. Love is not only the basis of marriage and determines its length, it determines who can get married. Love is the license for men to marry men and women to marry women, as long as two people, for now it's two adults and two humans, but it won't be for long. As long as two people love each other, none dare call that anything but marriage. As heterosexuals try to do anything to stay out of marriage, live together, casual hookups, friends with benefits, homosexuals have stormed the state and the church, demanding in the name of love the right to marry. So what's love got to do with marriage? Everything according to the world, nothing according to Tina. It's only a secondhand emotion. Now the ancients would agree with her. Plutarch, who was a pagan contemporary of St. Paul, said just as high wind upsets a boat without a pilot, so love makes stormy and chaotic a marriage of two people. 18th century British lexicographer Samuel Johnson said that the moon in honeymoon did not refer to the period of a month, but was comparing the love of newlyweds to the changing moon, which is no sooner full than it begins to wane. Yes, love is fickle, fallen, and fleeting in sinners. And the Lord and giver of life didn't base his divine institution of marriage on something so frail. Indeed, your love is to be grounded not on you and grow not from you, but from God's divine gift of holy wedlock. Now that's how it was always done up to the age of Romanticism. Before Romanticism, people married and looked forward to the individual love that would arise within the bonds of marriage. After Romanticism, people married on the basis of love that already existed. Marital love, pre-Romanticism, was thought to arise from what God had joined together. Haven't you read, Jesus asked, that in the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and for that reason the two will become one flesh? C.S. Lewis points out that God describes marriage as one flesh. He didn't say a happily married couple or a couple who married because they were in love are one flesh, but God makes it so. Lewis further warns of a couple entering marriage thinking that their love will get them through the worst, the poor, the sicknesses of life, because by the time those things come around, the enchantment of new love has worn off. Woe. I mean that both in the horse-stopping kind and the woe that the angel pronounced over fallen Babylon. Woe. Your family didn't come halfway across the country to have their dear children launched into the rocks of marriage before they even set sail. And how can I be so dismissive of their love for each other when St. Paul commands, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church? And won't I myself ask each of them to vow to love and cherish till death parts them? And even before they vow that to each other, I'm going to ask them to consent publicly to the question, wilt thou love her? Wilt thou love him? First, neither St. Paul or this Paul is talking about how they feel, but how they will act. Second, Lutherans have historically given their consent by answering, not I do, but I will. We promise how we will act, not how we will feel. Ellery and Megan promise to act towards each other based on what God does here today. And God does a miracle. He makes out of the two one. It's no longer up in the air whom they are to love for the rest of their lives. There's no doubt about whom Ellery is to love, comfort, honor, and keep. There's no doubt about whom Megan will love, comfort, honor, stand under, and keep. Thanks be to God that the drama of high school and college, where this boy is dating this girl who likes that boy who doesn't like that girl, thank God that drama is over. Done is your yo-yoing of emotions that's so intense that they are unsustainable and unable to build a home. The first references in the Bible ought to teach us this truth about our love. God makes Abraham's love for Isaac an accusation. Take your son, your only son, whom you love. Isaac's love for a particular food leads to the open conflict between Jacob and Esau, which will explode into one between Israel and Edom, which will not be resolved till Jesus, a descendant of Jacob, stands before a descendant of Edom, Herod. Then there's Jacob's love at first sight of Rachel, which makes 7 years of service for her light, but makes for heavy hardships as well. And Leah, Jacob's other wife, thinks she can somehow win her husband's love. And like any married person dreaming of that, she wakes up to a nightmare of disappointment. Not till Deuteronomy 7:7 is the word love used of God for us. And there we find that God has set his love upon us, and there's absolutely nothing in us that caused him to do that. What's love got to do with marriage? Absolutely everything, if we're talking about God's love in Christ for the fallen children of mankind. This love is unconditional, but cost him everything. To set his love on us, he had to satisfy the demands of his own word. He said, only perfect people deserve to be loved by a perfect God. Be thou holy, for I, the Lord thy God, am holy. As much as I like Ellery and Megan, I can tell you they're not holy. No matter how hard they try, no matter how much they promise, they would never ever be good enough for God to set his love upon them. So God the Son took on human flesh and blood to be born under the obligations of God's holy law. And God the Son lived the perfect holy life demanded, required by that law. He did not sin in thinking and speaking and doing, but because the fallen children of mankind had, did, and do, he was punished. God the Father set his wrath on his perfect beloved son, and he was pleased. That's what Isaiah says. He was pleased to crush him. On the cross, God's wrath crushed out of Christ all the blood, all the sweat, all the tears, all the suffering, damning, and dying required to put out not only his wrath, but the fires of hell itself. Easter morning, God declares to a world of sinners, you are free, forgiven, loved. Wait a minute, back up. God's gift of marriage was instituted before Easter. It was even instituted before the fall. It was instituted in paradise, in a perfect place. Now go ahead and process that. Paradise was not complete without God's gift of marriage. Read Genesis 1 and 2. God does a Detective Columbo thing. We're all set to believe creation is complete, good, and ready for Adam. Oh, but wait, one more thing. It's not good for the man to be alone. Are you kidding me? You think God just now realizes that? No, look at Michelangelo's Sistine Chapel. As God from heaven is giving the spark of life to Adam on earth with a touch from his right hand, underneath God's left arm, there's Eve. God all along knows what Adam, even in paradise, will need to learn. That it isn't good for him to be alone and he needs a fitting helper. And only God can give him that. This is Luther. If God himself does not give the wife or the husband, anything can happen. For the sage says that parents provide goods and houses for their children, but a wife is given by God alone. What's love got to do with your marriage? Everything, if we're talking about God's love for you in Christ. For your marriage is a gift of that love. We sing in a hymn that it is not in God's heart to harm us. Now, I looked for that specific hymn, and all-knowing Google gave me 5.3 billion results. Now, even by your 50th anniversary, should I live that long, I couldn't sort through them all. What was more instructive about the search results, though, when asking for a hymn about it not being in God's heart to harm us, the first page was all about our fallen human hearts. The first result was about giving your heart. The second, loving someone with all your heart. The third, about love being your choice. What's going on in your heart, mine too, will never ever rise above Jeremiah's judgment. The heart is crooked above all things, and it is incurable. Who can know it? Evidently Google, not us. We don't go by our heart, but God's heart, Jesus. Since there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, since those buried with him in baptism also rise to walk about just as Jesus did in a new life, free from sin, free from death, free from the devil. Since he bodies and bloods you to a lifetime of forgiveness, life, and salvation, you can believe, you are to trust that the joining God does here today is all good. Your marriage is going to have varying degrees of your love, but it will have all of God's love all of the time. Amen. We continue with the hymn on page 4.